week of Chazara, and we basically start to encourage everybody to do Chazara if you can. Pull together some of the topics. I say mostly we've finished the topics through Tesla and Aleph. We'll have finished the topics through Tesla and Aleph, but we will go back and fill in a bunch of things in the first couple of Shiurim when we pick up after the break. So just as we started doing we're in the middle of doing the Dalet Reshuyos. So again, just to move backwards just for 1 minute before we again pick up with Shishim Rebo. So just a couple of people asked me about the question of being medayik in the Brisa of Vava Min Aleph. Again, the Brisa on Vava Min Aleph is what determines Dalet Reshuyos. I was trying to be medayik for this, and I just want to point out that the Rishonim have been trying to be medayik. What's there, what's not there, the language, you know, etc. So I just want to spend another minute or two on that point. This idea that this particular Brisa, at least, you know, what's mentioned, what's not mentioned, what's omitted, what's how things are formulated, that this is considered to be like, you know, an important statement, perhaps, according to some Rishonim, about the nature of the Reshuyos, as well as the details of the Reshuyos, is something which appears in the Rishonim. And I just wanted to remind everybody of the Tshuva, the Rimigash, which we've spoken of a number of times. We spoke about it when we talked about Makom Ptur, we spoke about it when we spoke about Carmelis Bekalin. So that Tshuva of the Rimigash in Simen Chavdalid, just to remind everybody, is really built on this assumption that you can be medayik not only from what is omitted and what is inserted in the Brisa, but also from the language, you know, it's the literary aspect of the Brisa as well. The piece in the Rimigash, I'm just taking from the Yichud Rishonim, but it's there in Simen Chavdalid, as we discussed, really begins with the literary question. I just wanted to remind everybody. Yesh mishasha lama lo ktani ba ezehu karmelis kamo sha'amar ezehu rishus harabin the ezehu rishus hayachin. Alektani aval yamu bika v'yitztavnis v'akarmelis v'od amaylo hiskir ba makom ptur klal. Meaning the whole assumption, the whole beginning of the tshuva, the Rimigash, is based on this literary point that the Brisa, which lists the four, doesn't treat them equally, and basically the level of inequality is dual. Number one, when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, the Gemara continues, or the Brisa continues with Ketzad, right? In addition, which the this part the Brim Gash doesn't mention, there's also the emphasis of skila and so on, but that part we understand, that's the daraisa consequences. But basically there's no ketzad when it comes to the other two. And when it comes to makom ptur, not only is there no ketzad, but there's really no, aside from the initial statement that the one of the reshuyos is makom ptur, there's not even a description of the dinim of makom ptur. So you really have two levels, let's say, in the Brisa of treatment. One is a full treatment, you could say, where you have a list of the category, and then, in addition to that, you also have a ketzad. And then in Carmelis, you don't have the ketzad, but at least you have, in addition to the category, you have examples. And in Makom Ptur, you basically have nothing. You have one halacha, you know, but it's not even a description of what is a Makom Ptur. So again, you could say this is Torah Shebal Peh. And, you know, the important thing about it is the information, you know, that it yields, not the literary exposition. But as it happens, at least the Rimigash was intrigued by this and came to the conclusion, right, V'oda Milo Hiskir Makom Ptur Klal, by which he means, Brisa does mention that one of the Reshuyos is Makom Ptur, but unlike Carmelis, which at least has, you know, some examples, there's no single example even of Makom Ptur. Uchuvasa, this is what we've seen before, Hainu Tama Delomar Ezu Carmelis Mishum Dekivin Des Saiminu Lushus Arabim Rishus Hayachid. I'm skipping a couple lines now. Mimela Shamas Dekolmai Delespe Torres Rishus Hayachid Vegam Einba Torres Rishus Arabim Shakarmelisu. ולפיכך להוץ הקטן לא אמר איזו היא קרמלס אלא הזכר דינה בלבד. Meaning, if Carmelis was, and again, I'm reading this conceptually, you could argue with me on this point. It could be that the Rimigash is saying that there's, you know, just a technical point being made here, namely it's all covered by the other two. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think the language strongly indicates that he's making a conceptual a comment here. And what he's basically saying is that Carmelis as a reshus, and this is an important statement, doesn't exist. There's no chefza reshus of Carmelis, right? Carmelis is, like the Gemara says, eina reshus harabim, the eina reshus hayachid. The status of Carmelis is the fact that it falls through the cracks in between reshus harabim and reshus hayachid. But it's not a chefza shel reshus in its own right. And as we know, you could argue that point, as we've been saying, both in terms of linguistically, what the word Carmelis means, and some of the issues that have come up, you know, as we've discussed them. In terms of NOF, in terms of satellites, in terms of all sorts of issues, things in the environment. We just mentioned Rashi the other day, Rashi versus the Ra'an and some of the other Rishonim, right? Will you say Midrash Rishus Harabim Nishma LaKarmelis, and even as a Kavachomer, etc. But the Rimigash at least is taking that position. And then this is what Yehuda pointed out way back. He has a very strong formula, as does Rashi and the Sugya, but for him it's based on this linguistic ha'ar as well, that in Makom Ptur you go even a step further, the gamlin in Makom Ptur, lo itzrich levayer ezohi, lefi shaloshon Makom Ptur, mashma shehu atzmo lav Makom Gamor, the alma inbo dalad al dalad, which is a dual statement. Number one about dalad al dalad, as we discussed, and this is Shitas HaRambam, certainly, which works nicely as well, namely that dalad al dalad is a shir and chefza shel Makom. So what he's saying is, Carmelis isn't a chefta shal reshus, but it is a makom. Makom ptur is not only not a chefta shal reshus, it's not even a makom. Ubezeu ahefresh sheish beino ben Carmelis, she'av b'shashneim ein b'im toras reshus hayachid, b'lo toras reshus harabim. You might say for the Rimigash, there are only two chalos reshuyos, and Carmelis is a non-reshus. And again, I think others disagree. Right, Carmelis vada yesh bo dalet al dalet, shalosh and Carmelis mashma shemakom hu. The emo Torahs Rishus Hayachid and the Torahs Rishus Harabin. The Lashon Makom Ptur Mashma Shafilu Shir Makom Nami Einbo. So this is very, I think, clear. This is not a Chefta Shal Makom, and that is a Chefta Shal Makom, meaning Carmelis. It's not a Chefta Shal Rishus. It's not a combined or hybrid Rishus. It's not a Rishus, maybe even Drabanon, or it's certainly not Daraisa Rishus. It's a non Rishus, but it is a Makom. Nimtza achshav shekol makom sheish dalad al dalad shu shir makom v'gam yesh lo dalad mechitzos, he also requires dalad mechitzos shegvoyim yud ikalemer gud asik mechitzon shehin ein reshus hayachid. Again, this is also the Rimigash seemingly telling us that lemala me'asara, that ad harakia, this is in gud asik mechitzos and reshus hayachid. That's what it seems to be saying here, that you require dalad mechitzos. Tzerach agav b'chomai de mahalchi be rabbi mumazgi be tashmi shasayu, right? That's reshus harabim. You know, reshus hayachid is based on structure. Reshus harabim is based on shimush harabim, and that's what gives these the status of reshus. B'chomai de leisbehu torus reshus hayachid be leisbe torus reshus harabim. If you fall between the cracks, east bo shir makom shu dalad al dalad havale karmelis v'ilo makom p'tur, and so on. Okay. One second. Yeah, and then he comes back to this once again in the end. Then he talks about his view of Traskal and Teva and Kaveres regarding, Kalim Bishusa, Kalim Bekarmelis, which is what we talked about. I think Hanan and Yoni pointed that out when we did the Sugya of Traskal earlier, that the Rimigash has a unique position on that. So this question of how you look at, and as we noted, we were talking about the steer of Rashi's, apparent steer of Rashi's, which I was trying to be Miyashev, on Daf Ches Amud Aleph with Teva and Kaveres, right? This is Gufa partly the issue. It's interesting just to note also, again, the Rimigash's understanding of Kaveres, unlike Rashi, Rashi's understanding of Kaveres is that the Sugya is about throwing Rishuyos. Right, there's no din, there's no chiyuv, there's no iser to throw a reshus. There's only an iser to throw a cheftza. Right, so for Rashi, the whole question, as we discussed it, is, is Carmelis considered to be a chatzal rishus or not, and in that gufa, is there a difference between kalim or not, or is that a din in general? That's how we were trying to, or I was trying at least, to be miyashev, you know, the apparent stira in Rashi about teva and kaveris, just to remind everybody. That's what we did that sugya on Chesa Omer Al. It's interesting that the Rimigash, because his view is that Carmelis to begin with is not a Rishus, even though it is a Makom, so he doesn't hold like Rashi. A number of Rishonim don't hold like Rashi. For him, the issue is whether or not what you throw, Gito V'yado Boim Kiyachod, you know, lands there, and what you're throwing, you know, to, it's not the issue of throwing Rishuyos, and that's how he deals differently with the problem of Carmelis and Carmelis Bekalim, as opposed to Rashi there. But I just wanted to point out, the main thing I wanted to point out was that the Rimigash's Ha'aros here, which are very, very sharp and very relevant, and also very halachically consequential in terms of some of the conclusions that he reaches, are all based on his reading of the Braisa and being Medayik in the language of this particular Braisa. Doesn't mean you can always do that, but that's certainly what he is doing. Similarly, Tosis' question about Karpe, Fi Yeser Misasayim Shelehukaf Ledira, why isn't that the fifth Rishus, right? There are two ways to look at that question and two ways to look at the answers to that question. Again, one way is informationally, meaning the question is, well, if we're talking about Mokum Ptur and Carmelis and other things, how come we also aren't talking about this category of Karpef, etc., and the Dinim of Karpef? And then the question and the answer, again, being informational, is, well, the answer would just be, oh, it's covered, because, we have enough in what we do know, which is a Yachid, Carmelis, to cover the bases, and this is some sort of a hybrid of that. But again, I don't think that's what Tosis really has in mind. I don't think that's what the Ramban. By the way, I should mention that, I think I mentioned the other day, the Ramban asks this question, quotes the Bali Tosis's question, and says, at least his version, that the Bali Tosis left this Ola Begimgum, that they didn't answer the question. The Ramban himself answers the question, in a manner similar to the printed Tosis that we have. And that is that Karpov is basically Rosh Hashayachid, with adjustments. Midrabanan, this is Iser Tiltu Betocho, but basically it's a Din Rosh Hashayachid. And since we know the Din of Rosh Hashayachid, and we also happen to know the idea of Carmelis, so between those two categories we have Karpe. Maybe he's saying one is Daraisa and the other is how we treat it Drabanan, or maybe hard to know whether even the Drabanan is a kind of a Carmelis or not. But again, this whole question of the inclusion of Karpef in the Braisa here is an example of how seriously this Braisa is being taken as reflecting not only the dinim, but let's say the categories of Rishuyos. And in more dramatic fashion, if you look here on the side, they tell you to look at Tosis and Erevin, Samak Zayin Amud Beis. So Tosis and Erevin Samach, again, we're not going to study Karpef now because that's definitely beyond our issue right now. But there's this famous Hefter of Rabbeinu Tam that Tosis talks about in Erevin and some of Zainu days. Tosis says, Mikan, Hiter Rabbeinu Tam, Begina Achas Yisera Mibes Asayim, Lahuk Peladira Letalta Mitocha Lekutz. Like, let's say you have a key to the Karpef and it's on the outside, or can you carry a little bit from the inside to the outside? If the outside is a Carmelis and the inside is the Karpef, are you allowed to do that or not? So Rabbeinu Tam was Matir. Hov Elohoysa Rishus Harabim Gemura Kigon Tzrachya Uplatya Overis Lifaneha, meaning if it's not a Rishus Harabim, but it's only a Carmelis Lifaneha, so you could carry a little bit. V'hiti lahat min amafteach Bitoch Hagina, Afabish Omed Bachutz, Vinosim Bitoch Hagina, Olito Mitocha Lachutz, Dein Lechalik Ben Sela, the Hassa Mishum Delo Shchiach, Shrei Kalika Gzeirizu Shalayav the Talta Bekulo. Vahaytai Meshamek Shaykh Nami Hach. And that's the Heter of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, without going into, not everybody agrees with this, and it's obviously an important Karpef issue. But the reason I'm quoting it is because the next lines, and then in light of the next lines, the previous lines. But Odeshla Dakte, Mahodatan, Perakam of the Shabbos,
Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. Vim Haya Isar L'Osar, rather, L'Taltel, right? Mishar Karmelis L'Karpev Yosuri Beis Asayim Mashkachas Lu Chamisha.
So this is just an interesting line. Again, it's hard to know how to take it. You could take it, again, informationally, and you could take it, you know, conceptually. But basically, Tosis is trying to prove that Karpev, in this case, Tosis is trying to prove that we treat Karpev. Karpev is covered, let's say, you know, by its Doraisa status as Rishus HaYachid, let's say, and the Dindarabanan of Karmelis. And that, you know, is the reason why, or that's partially justification for Rabbeinu Tam's heter. Had there been an Iser to carry from the Karmelis to the Karpev, says Tosis, then we would have needed to list Karpev as a fifth. Now you could have said not at all, because the, you know, because basically we're interested in the category. This is Alpidin, which is a Yachid. Unlike Karmelis and Makom Ptur, which are not Rishus HaYachid. So again, is this line and is this, you know, a discussion about information and nafkamina per se, or is this the, you know, Bali Tosis way of saying that even on a drabanan level, right? This is, you know, Daraisa, it's Rishus HaYachid, and the drabanan it has adjustments, but it's not a special din of Iser, you know, Rishus HaYachid, Karpe, Fiosim, Isasayim, Shalahukov, Ladira. It's that Le'inyan, certain things, we treat it as a Karmelis. So between the category of Rishus HaYachid and the category of Karmelis, which is kind of what Tosa says here on Vav and Aleph, right when Tosa makes a Sa'ara, Tosa says, De'eshomadahi Rishus HaYachid Gemura, El Le'inyan de metaltlin bo, El Bedaladamus, Oso ka Karmelis. Why does he mention both? Right? Just say the categories of Rishus HaYachid. Again, same idea. We talked about it very briefly, right? Chatzer Shelo Irvu is a din, you know, in, you know, how do we look at that midrabana? Right? And is it a new category or is it, you know, just like, you know, Rishuyos to Rishuyos? And how do we look at the Heterim? You know, what it is that creates an Eruv, you know, between, you know, Mavui and Chatzer, that allows for that kind of total. So basically, just trying to show that there are a number of Makoros that really deal, you know, with these categories, and also based on the question of how you understand the Braisa. The Ran, the Shita L'Ran, which is, again, an outlet for the Ra'ah here, has a slightly different formulation of Karpev anyway. Again, I don't want to get into the details of it now, but just look it up. Just one second. What I have in here. Just one second. Yeah. The carpet also but on Zion of Aleph, the Ra is slightly different. Tama de Bukhuseras Diurin, Isla did the Rishus Harabim Latuma, Vachemin and Tiltos, also Talta Batoka Laba Arba Amos. Whether there's a din of Rishus Harabim or Karmelis inside the Karpev. So that's also the discussion of the Ra. Anyways, this is, you know, just food for thought, because we're not going to discuss Chatzer right now or Karpev, but how we look at it, even midrabanan, and whether or not it's a new category or which of the existing categories is an important question. Okay, this idea that this brisa is particularly important, that the formulations of it are important. The third expression of this, of course, is the Ramban in Erevin on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, which became right the source for Chachmei Svarad, who rejected Shishim Ribo. Again, most Chachmei Ashkenaz, as we know, agreed. There were some Gaonim who you know, obviously started the Shishim Ribo idea, and then Rashi see the formulations of this in just a minute, but Rashi in Erevin on Vav Amudaf, and again in Nun Tesim and Aleph, picked up with it, and the Bali Tosis here on Vav Beis and in Erevin on Vav Aleph accepted it as well, and the Or Zeruah and the Rav Yah, meaning basically the Chachmei Ashkenaz and the Chachmei Tzarfat, the Rush, all picked up on this idea of Shishim Rebo. The majority of Rishonim picked up on it, and the Chachmei Svarad, many of them rejected it. Number one, the Rambam omitted it. The Rinigash doesn't have it in his Tshuva either. The Mishkanos Yaakov, in a very famous Tshuva, which everybody always quotes when they talk about the Erevin in big cities, also suggests that the Rif and the Balamor don't accept the Shishim Rebo. That's more questionable, but certainly the vanguard, let's say, is the Ramban. The Ramban in Nun Tes Amud Aleph in Erevin rejects Shishim Rebo, and the Rajba, followed suit in both Chidushim and also in his Tshuvas. The Rajba, like the Ramban, rejected this idea, and then the Ritz and the Ran as well. The not as clear, but at least eerie. Some of the Chachmei Provence and Chachmei Sfarad rejected the idea of Shishim Rebo. But what's interesting is that they all picked up on the Ramban's comments, and it all starts again with this Braisa here on Vav Amud Aleph. Right, the Ramban here says, he quotes the Rashi, which we'll get to in just a minute, his quote of the Rashi, which is also a little different. Umikamokom anu tzmuim, imkein betchilas matzachas Shabbos, sheshanu v'braisa, dalad v'shuyas v'shabbos, heichlo amru, sratyo platya gedola mavosam v'loshos, zeo rishis harabim gemura, right, v'hu, sheyavur sham, shishim ribo, inami, listening, I'll get that in a second as well, the karmelis, yamu vika istavnis, umokom she'enbo, shishim ribo. So once again, the Ramban and the Rajba and others pick up on this, is zeroing in on the Braisa and the omission in the Braisa, meaning this is the Braisa that isn't just providing some information, but it's like being Magdir, right, the Rishuyas. So just agav, two other things of the Ramban, the Chitema b'mekomos kamayri b'inshi lamayri, right, so that's an interesting issue and an interesting question. What are the Bali Tosis going to do, or Rashi and the Bali Tosis and the Gonim? And does anybody who believes that Shishim Rebo is a requirement, what are they going to answer to the Ramban? Why is this omitted in the Braisa, which seems to define Rishus HaRab? So I think that there can be two, or three, let's say, there can be three approaches to this question. One is what the Ramban himself is suggesting, and that is that while this is a requirement, there are two types of requirements, and the Braisa in Shabbos is dealing with one, and Shishim Rebo is a different kind. That's what he suggests when he says, "V'kitema b'mekomos kamayri b'inshi lo mayri," meaning there are structural requirements of a Rishus HaRabim, right? And those have to do with that's platya, and that's sratya, and that's mavos mefulashim, and that's Eina Makura, and that's Rachov Tezayin Ama, or maybe Tezayin Ama, Al Tezayin Ama if that's required. Meaning those are these, that's what the Braisa is talking about there. The Braisa is trying, just like in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Braisa is speaking of structure. What do you need to make a Rosh Hashanah Yachid? You need, how many walls do you need? How much airspace do you need? So too, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is about its structure, albeit the structure of Darsi Bay or Tashmishe, Harabim, but physically, what kind of area, right, is required for that? But the din of Anshi, how many people, the population, that's a different requirement, and that's not included in this Bryce. That's exactly what the Ramban has in mind. What's fascinating is that the Ramban rejects it, and the reason that he rejects it is because. Why does Ramban reject it?
Because the Braisa does include the number of people. When the Gemara talks about the Midbar,
because of Midbar. So what's fascinating is that's exactly 100% excellent. So he says that's not true. The listening Nami Midbar. V'tartzina nabaya lo kasha kan bizman shoy yisro b'midbar. Kan bizman hazeh al midayarin nami irinan b'braisa. So what do you think about that? Does that exclude this idea completely? So two things should be noted. Does the Gemara actually speak about people when it speaks about Midbar Bizman, She Yisrael, Sham? Ellie, what do you think? Do you have to say what the Ramban says? Well, first of all, ironically, if you hold like the Rambam, and especially like Rambam's interpretation of the Rambam, right, which happens to work, in the direction that the Ramban is interested in going, and that is that there's no din of Shisha Rebo, but for different reason, obviously, Yar and Midbar, etc. So then, of course, there's no right. Meaning, the Ramban has to be learning the Gemara, but that's not much of a chiddush. Kipshuto, like almost all the Rishonim did, which is that. The Bizman Sheh Yisrael Shuri and Bamidbar is Rishus Harabim. If you look at this way the Rambam did, obviously the sugya is not a raya that we're dealing also with people, except in the opposite direction. But what the Rambam's reading opens up, and especially if you don't read it like Rav Avram, Ben Rambam. Is even if you don't go that far, in other words, is another point, another ha'ara, and that is instead of seeing Bizman Shel Yisrael B'Midbar in terms of people, what could you say, Ellie? I mean, again, it's not exactly you couldn't say exactly what the Ramban is saying, but there's a way to moderate what the Ramban was suggesting. Ellie?
I don't know. In terms of place?
Right. In other words, not in terms of the physical, obviously not in terms of, the Midbar's contours, its physical contours don't change, whether Yisrael is there or not. We understand that. But that doesn't mean that Bizman Shi Yisrael Shuriyim Sham is just about numbers. Right? We also know that from the worldview, let's say, of the Rambam. Whether you hold it in the, very sharp, delineation of the Rav Avraham and Rambam, where everything's turned on its head, that works for the Rambam, or even if you go like the like the Bach and others who have a more moderate view of the Rambam. In other words, the Bizman Shi Yisrael Sham is not necessarily about numbers. It's about how the Midbar, right, is being used. So for the Rambam, for example, is it a Makom Hefker, Hamuchan Lakol, or is it just a crowded place where everybody's on top of each other and it's physically limited and everybody's, it's like one of those, projects. I'm not saying anything against the projects. They're really wonderful. It can be a challenging, place when everybody's, in a very, restricted area and so on. That's what it is for the Rambam. So Dafka, too much, population in a small area which is, physically bounded, etc., is not a Rishus Harabim, or in the sense of a makom she omeid or patuach or ra'ui, lishtamshus kol echad v'echad, shel harabim. But again, that's the Rambam. Even if you don't go that way, let's go the other way. Let's go the direction, of Rashi and the other Rishonim. So we're saying no, Bizman she Yisrael b'midbar shruyim sham. It's a Rishus Harabim, but it doesn't have to be about the numbers. It's about, again, you have this, big empty, midbar, or you have a midbar, which is a population center. I mean, you need to have, some sort of presence, some sort of, again, midbar has a connotation of being, a place dafka without people, and a place which is isolated. Bizman she Yisrael were shuriyim b'midbar. So this was an active, dynamic, public place. So even if that isn't about the physical contours, right, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the quantity of the population, right, or even about the population per se. It could be that it just establishes that right now this isn't a midbar with everything, or a yar, with everything that that, you know, connotes in terms of being, you know, isolated and open, which is good for the Rambam but bad for other Rishonim. It's a population center. It's a makom shel harabim. So I think that certainly, if you hold like a Rambam, you know, the Ramban's Raya is out the window. But that, you know, as I say, that's very highly specialized. But even if you don't, you could have just said, you know, for Rashi, that b'makom sheyisrael shurim b'midbar isn't about numbers. It's about the quality of the Rishon. It isn't physical structure either, but it is about the cheftza shel makom, the echos ha-makom, if you will. Yeah.
Would that work for Tosfos as well?
Because of Diglei HaMidbar, you mean?
They learn this thing.
From Diglei HaMidbar. Okay, right. So maybe not. That's a question. That's the next question I wanted to discuss. So I'm saying, number one, but that isn't the Ramban's Ha'ara, right? That isn't the reason that the Ramban was rejected. I mean, the Ramban, you have to understand, so Ellie's point is very, very good. There's another, like, there's another dispute, right, between the Ramban, you know, and the Balei Tosfos here, which we're going to get to in a second, and that is the role of Diglei HaMidbar and the Mishkan, right, in this whole issue, right? The Ramban basically is not happy with Diglei HaMidbar and the Mishkan, you know, here, per se. And I think it's part of his larger shita. One, another, you know, lishitaso, you know, to throw into the mix, as well as a kind of a miman of shach, which we'll get to, you know, in just a second, right? In other words, you know, what happened per se, technically, factually, in the time you know, of the Mishkan and the Chania in the Midbar, you know, isn't necessarily relevant, says the Ramban. And if it is relevant, so then, you know, why do you draw, I'll get to this in one more second, why do you limit the numbers to 600,000, right? After all, there were, you know, men and women and children and so on and so forth. Right, so we'll get to that in just a second. So the Ramban's mentality is that, you know, Diglei HaMidbar or Mishkan, right, unless you say, oh, he's attacking us all, he's saying, if I were to adopt the Balei Tosfos view, so... And then, like, stick everything in there. But I'm not sure the Ramban is necessarily, you know, even going that route. But all I'm saying is that, number one, you could interpret the Gemara in the direction of Rashi and most Rishonim about Shurim Bamidbar without it being about population figures, but rather it be about, you know, being a humming, dynamic, public place, as opposed to a desolate, isolated, you know, Midbar. And that isn't necessarily proved. Therefore, the numbers issue is not proved by the Gemara. That's number one. So what would you say for the Balei Tosfos, let's say? So I think that there are two things, two opposite things that you might want to say to answer this question, because it is a good question. I mean, again, assuming that, you know, this Brisa here isn't just, you know, A, only informational, and B, you know, just, you know, it isn't the whole story. Okay. So one is that the idea of Shishim Ribo, you know, the Drisa Sarabim, is just, well, what would you say? You don't need me to say it. What would you say? You'll say. The two opposite things that you could say. Noach.
I think one of you mentioned last week that you say that Shishim Ribo is so fundamental to Drisa Sarabim.
Correct. If the Hagdara of Mokom Arabin, right, is defined by the population, if it's basically means that Rishus Arabin is a population center defined by the presence of, you know, a big population, maybe even a specific minimum quantity population, so what you might say is, well, that's just what Rishus Arabin means. This Brisa is fundamental, but in a way you're going back to again, you still have to explain the Midbar in the way that I explained it, but instead of saying, oh, there are two different dinim, what I'm saying is, you know, let's take it in one direction even more. The Hagdara of Rishus HaRabim is Mok is Mitzius, you know, Tzibor Gadol with a certain minimum. And then there are structural and other requirements right? In addition, and that's what the Brisa, but this is like so basic. So if you, in terms of the Rishonim, for example, or the Gonim, in Otsar Gonim, I told you to look at the Lashonav, the Sefer Itim. You have that? I see Tamara's opening it up. What does it say about the Shishim Rebo there? That's the Ikar Hagdara. Right, so the Hagdara basically of Rosh Hasharabim is Shishim Riba. And then the question is, you know, what about, as we'll see in a moment, extending it right to the outlets of the Shishim Riba. But the Hagdara is a Shishim Riba. So that doesn't need necessarily the Brisa. Yeah.
He also being like that in Rashi and Eridan, where he says, on Rosh Hasharabim, Mashma Racho Shishis Rehama, the Yershman Tzim Ba Shishim Riba.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what it means.
Yeah.
Could be. And then after that comes the Tanaim, the additional time. Very could be. Could very well be. So I think that's number one. That's one thing you could say. The other thing that you might say is the opposite. And that is that the reason that the population figure is not mentioned here is because that's an additional kind of extraneous requirement. In other words, really what makes it Rosh Hasharabim is not the fact that it's a population center, but the fact that it is a makom shiroi l'rabim. But then if you ask yourself, well, what's the shear of that technically? You know, how many, you know, qualify as rabim whose usage, let's say, is going to, you know, figure into this definition? The answer is Shishim Riba. But it's not a t'nai. It's just, it's a kind of, it is a t'nai, but it's a kind of an extraneous t'nai. It's not part of the Hagdara of what Rosh Hasharabim is. Rosh Hasharabim is a makom shiroi or ledrisas harabim. Right? But if everybody neglects it, if you have the structure there and no one's using it, so then we don't even look at it as a structure. But it really is the structure. That would be the opposite. So I think that three ways, basically, to get out of the Ramban's question. One is to say that there really are two different dinim, maybe two equal factors in Rosh Hasharabim, or maybe actually two dinim, as we'll see in a second, right? And as for Midbar, Shirim B'Midbar, I think that's important to Ara that I was saying before. That isn't about numbers, that's about, being mafkia, the shame ya'ar umidbar, and giving it, the echus, let's say, of a makom shel rabim, in general, but not as a population amount. Or these other two opposite perspectives, one of which I think is very good in the Sefer Itim, and the other one which I think would work, as we'll see, for any number of, maybe the Ran, Shita L'Ran in the name of the Ra'ah, and the Ritva, we'll see in a moment, etc. In other words, this question of how you look at Shishim Riba, whether it is, a 50% requirement, or it's the Ikar Hagdara, or it's just a T'nai in, the structural parts of Rosh Hasharabim, may affect the next question, and that is the question of how are you Magdir this Shishim Riba, right? The question could stand independently in either direction, and it also might be connected. I think intuitively and instinctively, we would think that it might be connected. Meaning, do you require something very, rigorous and specific, in terms of, that 600,000, being a necessary requirement that is really omnipresent, right? Or is it enough to have a looser connection with the Shishim Riba, both geographically and temporally? In other words, do you need the 600,000 there all the time, or at least every day? Like, how frequently do you need them there? Simultaneously and constantly, right? Or is it enough to have once a day, or maybe not even once a day, just, this is the general population that runs through or that is connected with or that is mitzuref with this kind of a plan. That's an objective question. That's a time question, and there's also, as I say, a spatial element or a geographic element. Do you need 600,000, you know, concentrated in the one place, you know, which is geographically defined as Rosh Hasharabim, or is it enough that, you know, there be, you know, outlets that are connected to a place where there's 600, you know, thousand, and it doesn't require that, you know, each, you know, place be fully integrated, you know, as a makom 600,000. Now you could say in the Lekula and Lechumra, both on the spatial and on the temporal question, according to either shita, you might say even if we define Rosh Hasharabim as makom nochachus or dior or whatever it is shalat tzibur shalarabim, but we have a wider, more flexible definition of what that means. And even if all you require is tziruf lemakom rabim, but requiring a specific definition. Right. Even then, you might say, "Oh, but we require that every single minute, every single day, every single, you know, location." Having said that, I can't prove otherwise. Just I think logically, intuitively, our feeling is that the more that we define this as a population center, now that's the definition, the more rigorous we're going to be both temporally and spatially about having that, you know, in a more constant way. The more we think this is just, you know, it's really about makom shel harabim, shel shimush harabim, etc. Just that, you know, we require a certain, you don't have a desolate or, you know, an isolated, you know, Rosh Hasharabim, even structurally, an obsolete Rosh Hasharabim. So, you know, to keep it going and to, you know, keep it to dynamic, right, you need tziruf to a minimum shear. But then I think we're more likely to be flexible, both in time and in space. Okay, so just that's a question we're going to discuss in just another minute, just to pin down some of the actual shitas. Of course, halacha lemaisa, this is a hugely important issue in defining, you know, Rosh Hasharabim, Doraisa for purposes of Erevin, and so on. How easy is it to create Rosh Hasharabim? How difficult is it to create Rosh Hasharabim? Shish Ribo is an important question for that. What, you know, mifulashin means is important for that. Is it mishar lishar? Is it one, you know, road? All these things figure very prominently into all these Erevin discussions because they dictate how rare, you know, the difficult to overcome Rosh Hasharabim is or is not. Yeah, Isaac.
Within that option that Shishim Ribo is just not a structural requirement, that's why the Gemara doesn't include it in the list, why wouldn't the Gemara feel the need to talk about it anywhere else?
Well, again, if, you know, it could be because it's so basic, as we've said, or it could be because it's so, you know, that's just the definition of what Rabbim is on a technical, you know, level. Again, you might argue that the Gemara does speak about it elsewhere, you know, if you think that that's just what the words Rabbim, you know, include, both in Eruv. I mean, it's not a coincidence that the two places where Rashi speaks about this, right, even though the Sugyas and Erevin are not explicit, are Vav Amud Aleph in Erevin and Nuntes Amud Aleph, right, in Erevin, right? Neither of those Sugyas, what are they about, by the way, Isaac? What's Vav Amud Aleph in Erevin? What? Yeah, but, I mean, basically the language of the Rashi's relating to there is, I mean, let's just remember your question's a good question, but let's see if it's true. Right, Ketzav Ma'arvin Derech Rosh Hasharabim. Right, and on that Rashi throws in Mashma Rachav Sheish Esrei Ama V'ir Shemitzuyim Bo Shishim Ribo. Right, that's one. That's the one in Bava Med Aleph. And then what's Nun Tesa Med Aleph? When you have a city whose population changed, right, which underwent a change, you know, in either direction, you have, you know, cities that become obsolete, and then you have cities become gentrified, and, you know, there's a renewal, and people move back in, or a new city that's built, or whatever. Ir Shel Yachid, Benazah Shel Rabin, that's a Mishnah. Ma'arvin Eskula, Shel Rabin, Benazah Shel Yachid, Ein Ma'arvin Eskula. Right? So again, there's nothing in the words Shel Rabim
or derech harabim on vav amud aleph, which per se, you know, means she shariva. But these are the two contexts in which, you know, the Rishonim, you know, jumped in. So they think that that just means the words rabim, whether it's like Eli was suggesting, because that's just what, you know, the mechayev, the ikar hagdara is, or technically you can't have Rishus Harabim without people. That's just, you know, that's not what Rishus Harabim is. It's makom sheroy ledrisus Harabim, but if you don't have a certain critical mass, what are you going to say? It's like one of those old, you know, cowboy, you know, towns, you know, that dried up, and you're going to say that's a Rishus Harabim? Just because, you know, the main street is Mefulash Mishar Lashar, you know, and it's Tezayin Amma, but no one's there. So what? There needs to be, you know, a minion there. There needs to be, you know, enough of a minion that you can say, you know, the best kind of Birchas Zimun ever, you know? Like, where do you draw the line? So the answer is Shishim Ribo, because that's what we find as a Tzibur or a Kahal, you know, and so on. So it's fascinating that the discussions revolve around, that's what I'm kind of trying to highlight here. You have our sugya, which is, you know, either informational or, I prefer obviously, you know, categorical about the Dalet Rishuyos. Certainly that's the way the Rimei Gash and the Ramban and others are learning it. And then you have these references, you know, to Rishus or Derech or Ir, Shel Rabim, and that just became the flashpoint. That's a lightning rod for the discussions of, you know, what is Rabin? In a way, that's more impressive. Again, it doesn't impress the Rambam, and it doesn't impress the Ramban. They're yawning, you know, or they're yawning, but they're basically saying, and you know, to quote the Rav, is Alkane, you know, like, well, what does that prove? You know, I'll tell you what it means. It means other things. Again, you have to explain a little bit. You know, the Mishnah in Nun Tes Amud Aleph is more challenging, obviously, than the Gemara Neirav and Andava Medala. Derech Rishus Harabim, you could say, it's purely structural. Obviously, if you're talking about a population change in Nun Tesa Medalef, so you're talking about something more significant. So how does the Ramban, that's the continuation of the Ramban, how do you deal with that? That's why it's a stronger Makar, and there's more discussion on Nun Tesa Medalef than there is on Andava Medalef. But it's an interesting thing that these are the issues. Anyways, so that's regarding the Ramban, what the Bali Tosis would say, what the Ramban himself assumed, and so on. Yeah. Agav, just to finish up what we said before, in this whole discussion, right, there seems to emerge another debate, and that is the Diglei Hamidbar / Mishkan factor once again. Right. So in Rashi, an Erevin on Vav Amud Aleph, it's not as clear. Right? Rashi does have Diglei Hamidbar there, but not necessarily connected to Shishim Ribo. Rashi says, Mashma Rachav Tezainama, the ear Shemitsuyim Ba Shishim Ribo, the Aim Ba Choma, right? Shahayu Shusaram Shalok, I'm not sure if it should be O. Mechuvan mishar l'shar, shehei mefulash, doma l'digle amidbar. So the doma l'digle amidbar in Rashi and Bava Manalef goes only on mefulash mishar l'shar? Or does it also go on ir shemitzuyim bo shishim ribo, rachav shesh esrei ama, and ein bo choma? Right? Hard to know. On Nun Tes Amud Aleph, right in the Mishnah, Irshel Yachid, Shelo Yichnasin Batamid Shishim Ribo Shel Bnei Adam, Velo Chashiva Rishus Harabim, Velo Dami LeDiglei Midbar. So here, in Nun Tes Amud Aleph, right, it's explicit that Diglei Amidbar is the Makar. Right? Bali Tosis here, on Vav Amud Beis, also operate with Diglei Amidbar. Right? Tosis here says, Mashma Ktsas, but Tosis is a little bit hedging their bets. De'ena Rishus Harabim, Elim Kain Mitsuyin Sham Shishim Ribo Kemo Bamidbar. Now this of course is fascinating, especially in light of the Ramban's, you know, rejection. Right, this is, you know, connected to the line of the Gemara about Midbar, Bisman Sheshurim, Bisman Shein Shurim. Right. So the Ramban considers that to be proof that the Gemara is not talking about numbers, but it's only talking about what? Midbar and Yar? Got it? Ramban and Eruvin. Interesting, just it's interesting to juxtapose, right? The ode, right after you finish the Dayarin comment. Midah Karmina Midbar Bizman Shah Yisrael Sham Haver Shisarabim Bizman Azeh Karmelis Michlal the ear Vistatritaos by highways Alpha Pish in Bahem Shishim Rebo Haver Shisarabim Kivin Shadrachim Kavushim Ibn Adam over in Bahem the Tam of the Midbar Mishum Shain Sham Derek Kavusha Velom Kuvenes Lelech Lam Mishumakom. Right? So what's Ramban saying? You see from the Gemara's comment about what when a Midbar is and is not a Rosh Hashanah, when it's a Rosh Hashanah, when it's a Carmelis, you see that Rashi and the Bali Tosis are wrong. Right? That's the same line in the Gemara that Bali Tosis said about Mashma Ktas, but they admitted that it's Ktas, right? Because they also understand that it doesn't prove anything. Does Ramban understood? The question is you know, is it fair for the Ramban to say that? In other words, if he's putting himself into Bali Tosis's shoes, right? So the previous comment, which is, well, you know, the Gemara is going to be dealing with population, but they don't, you know, deal with you know, with this in the same way. So the question is, in other words, is the Ramban giving Bali Tosis' view a fair shake, or is he already, you know, reflecting his own perspective and commitment in rejecting it? Meaning, let me explain what I mean. The Ramban, like the Rambam, but differently, again, especially if you hold that Krav Ramban and Rambam and the Rambam, it's a little bit different in the sense that for the Rambam it's Mokom Hefker, Mokom Pasuach, you know, they call echad be echad, they call yachid be yachid, let's say. But for the Ramban, let's say sratya, right, we'll say that's what I've been, phrase I've been using, rather than platya, right, is the ikar rishus harab. And this Ramban reflects it. So the Ramban says, oh, mokom sheshruyin, right? Mechlal, the ear, the istra tita, skritos, afa bishemam shishim ribu hav rishus harabim. Kivin Shadrachim Kavushin Ubnei Adam over Bahem. The time of the Midbar, Mishum De'en Sham Derech Kavusha V'lo Mechuven Esleilech Sham Neshimakom V'dami Lebika Shivu Shesayachid. And then again, in the continuation, V'shem Adas Rishonim Lomar Sheistarya Shei Kavusha Chutz Layaros Hahochim, and so on. Meaning the Ramban is looking at Rishus HaRabim, you know, in terms of access, in terms of highways. That's his yesod of Rishus HaRabim. So he's saying, oh, the Gemara distinguishes between Midbar, Bizman, Shurian, and Ein Shurian. It doesn't say the numbers. It's about, you know, paved highways to get there. Right? In a way, even, you know, I said before something a little more mechudash to answer the Ramban. But the truth is the Ramban kind of, you know, makes it even easier to neutralize his own argument, where the Ramban said, "Oh, maybe there it's about, you know, structure, and here, and not about numbers." But you can't say that because of the Midbar, right? But the Ramban himself is choosing to treat the Midbar not in terms of numbers, but in terms of infrastructure. Ramban saying, "Oh, if Kal Yisrael was in the Midbar, then there was, you know, drachim kivushim to the Midbar. There was infrastructure. It was a makom shel hiluch harabim. But if they weren't, then even getting there is a problem. You know, you have to hack your way through the bush, part, you know, with your machete, you know, kind of visualize that happening. If Avigdor were here, I'm sure, you know, he would describe it for us. Once you say that, so what's the proof? I was trying to say something a little more, you know, subtle. You know, oh, it's a happening population center. It's not about numbers. It's about the quality of, you know, of it being a desolate place or a dynamic, you know, public place. But the Rabbana, the next line is basically telling you the ode, right? The midbar proves that what we care about is infrastructure, not numbers. So then, what proof is it that the sugya is not talking about numbers? Okay, but the Bali Tosas, just to put it the other way, right? Mashmaktas, because they knew know too that A, it could just mean it's a population center, a happening place, a place with numbers, not desolate. B, maybe it's a certain minimum, or maybe it's structural and infrastructural about the Durachim Akavushim, like the Ramban. But it's just fascinating that, you know, what the Bali Tosas are saying is a raya for Shishim Rebo. Oh, but you know, the midbar proves that we would be talking about numbers. The Tosa says, yeah, 100%. And the numbers are Diglei Amidbar, Shishim Rebo. Right. So it's hard to know whether or not the Ramban and Bali Tosas are talking, you know, to or at each other, or with each other, or to or at each other. Three possibilities. Anyways, the point is that the Ramban is already speaking like someone who has committed to two things. Number one, he's not automatically impressed with Diglei Amidbar / Mishkan, or as impressed, which we'll see in a second is Lashitaso, and it's in general Lashitaso. Number two, right, he seems to, again, because of his global view, it's hard to know where it starts, but he can't stop on a dime and put himself completely in the Bali Tosas worldview, right? He seems to think that the idea of Shishim Rebo as the Mechayev, as the Koveya, right, of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus Shel Mitzius, you know, Rabim, is just not what Rishus HaRabim is really all about. Rishus HaRabim is really infrastructural. You know, it's about, you know, Sratya. Okay. And the Bali Tosas seem to be disagreeing again. Whether or not they think, you know, well, like we were saying for the Sefer Itim or the middle view or the Tudinim or it's more trivial but it's still required, it's hard to know. But it's just fascinating that the Ramban, you know, basically undermines, you know, his first Raya, you know, Tokhidei Dibur with his second Raya. And that Bali Tosas, you know, took what was the Ramban's second Raya as, at least, again, in this case, they were more measured, Mashma Ktsas, the Einu Rishus HaRabim Elim Kei Mitzuim, Shishim Rebo, Kemo Bamidbar. Okay. Then Rabbi Kiva Eiger says, also look at Tosas in Erevin on Vav Amud Aleph. Isaac, so what's Tosas in Erevin, Vav Amud Aleph? What's supposed to say there? No? What's to say there? Anything added to the discussion or not? Not such a big Tosas. Pirsha Kunturis, right? Rishusarabim Rachov Tezayin, Mufulish Mishnei Tzadin, Umitsuyim Shishim Rebo, Bechenesh. He adds number one, Bechenesh Bahalachos Gedolos, right? The Beinan Drisas Shishim Rebo, Bekoshel Rabbeinu Tam, the Bishabas Perak Azorik, Amar De Eglos Hava Tachte Mubeneim Rishusarabim, Betachte Lohayu Shishim Rebo. That's important, right? If you really require Shishim Rebo every particular place, this is the spatial question, right? The geographic question. You need Shishim Rebo everywhere.
Hard to know what he's answering. Is he saying, yeah?
How can Tosfos ask that? I mean, you don't need Shishiribo in like every.
That's a strange question. Area. Right. So obviously, that's what he's trying to bring down. But even the question itself reflects like a certain extreme, but orientation. He's basically saying, you need Shishiribo everywhere. It doesn't mean. Yeah, obviously Shishim Rebo, it means an integrated fact. You can't have a place in Rosh Hashanah Rabim where Shishim Rebo are cut off. That's what he means. Obviously it doesn't mean that Shishim Rebo are at every spot. I mean, that's impossible. We understand that. But that they could be diffused, but integrated. And integrated means what? So the Havamina was, integrated means physically there are no barriers, right? There's no obstacles for this being a Mokom Shishim Rebo. Let's say there are obstacles, but there is an outlet or it's a connection. And how do you define that? In, right? That already gets you into the question of Tziruf Lirush Hasarab, both in two senses. Number one, what role is Shishim Rebo really playing? What we were talking about before. And number two, you know, the question of embassies again, like, you know, places in Rosh Hasarab, Chorer Rosh Hasarab, Sidei Rosh Hasarab, right? It doesn't sound like, you know, we're dealing with that here. Like when we talk about Chor Rosh Hasharav and Sidei Rosh Hasharav, maybe even Mokom, Haroi Lekatef, you know, Tess, and so on, it sounds like in those areas, or Lamala, right, it sounds like in those cases, we're talking about extensions. Right? Here it sounds like this is still Ikar Rosh Hasharav, but there's an obstacle to having the Shishim, or there's a Hefsek to the Shishim Rebo, if it's Tachdeyam. That's what bothers it. So I think it's a very good snapshot of the question. Now the question is, how do you understand the answer? The answer is hard to know. Are you saying, a derech, there are two dinim in Rosh Hasharabim. There's makom, you know, mitzius harabim, and, or nochus harabim, and then there's, you know, sratya, there's sratya and there's platya. Again, that was certainly what the Ramban, you know, was suggesting in Erevin. Right? The Ramban was suggesting, let me get read it again, and the Tosfos read that Noach brought to our attention. The Shema Dasa Rishonim Lomar Shaistratya Shehi Kavusha Chutzla Yaros Hocha Mimenu Meir Lir Medina Limedina Ad Sof Kala Olam Ein Medaktikim Ba, right? Be'ovrim Malayal Shishim Rebo Don Dekul Almohu Aval Betocha Ir Ein Shom Rishus Arabim Below Shishim Rebo The Tehevik Adigle Amidbar. And then he says V'gam Zein Amachuvar. He doesn't like it. Okay, he doesn't like it, but is that kind of what Tosfos is saying, or is Tosfos saying not even that? Tosfos is just saying, aren't two dinim. It's mitzuraf to Rosh Hasharabim, because it's the place that the rabbim use, you know, also, right? And the havamina that being mitzuraf to Rosh Hasharabim, to mokom shishim rebo, requires that there be no physical obstacles whatsoever, that be a mokom which is fully integrated, that's what we're going back on. Not that that's correct, but there are two dinim. The od, hiksha. The Bedigle Midbar have a tafanashim, Lain Mispar. Right? The Shishim Rebo is just the men above a certain age. Right? It didn't include children. Children are part of the population. Women are certainly part of the population. Right? Even if you think that children are, you know, that's, we've talked about this in the past, I guess maybe not this year. You know, whether children are little adults or not, you know, whether they're little adults or pre-adults or they're, you know, these, you know, phenomena that are going to become adults one day, you know, even though right now it's a Dover Shalom Bali Olam, right, that's a halachic question, and it's a, you know, cultural, sociological question, right? I always like to quote the book of, the guy, Philip Arias, right? Right? I never quoted this before?
Not me.
Wow. Centuries of Childhood. Very good book. Anyways, child labor, like very, but either way, taf, there's nothing to do with this for now. The taf are certainly part of the population, no matter what view you take on these questions. Right? And halacha is a huge question, as we know. Right? Well, you know, legabe what for Korban Pesach, you know, ketanim are definitely, you know, mitzuraf to the Korban Pesach, to the chabura, to the. For other things, less so. Right? But for this, and Nashim, of course, there's no question. The Chen Kasha Me'erev Rav, right? The Shlomo Delogar Minim Mishkan El Milsa Dixiva B'Mispa Ram, B'Mispa Right. So that's fascinating. Does the assumption here, Tas Mashma, both for Rashi and Tosis, is that the Mishkan and Diglam Midbar is a paradigm, you know, is very important, even though the Gemara never says explicitly that this is the case. Right? There are Gemaras that say things about the Mishkan and Diglam. We just did a whole section on Lamala Miyud and, you know, Masa Kate. Even there, clearly, is a big machlokas, and how limited that is, how mechudash that is. Right, but the Gemara says, you know, already, the Gemara on the Mishnah, you know, Tani Beis says that, you know, Digle Amidbar, Masa Katef, you know, etc. The Mishkan factor, we know, this is a big issue. So that the Rashi and Bali Tosis are you know, inclined, you know, to especially Bali Tosis, certain Bali Tosis, to expanding the role of the Mishkan is something we've seen throughout. But now comes the Chiddush of Tosis, and that is, it's not the Metzius of the Diglam Midbar in the Mishkan, right? It's the Torah's, you know, kind of legal description of it, right? That's an added layer of Chiddush. So the Ramban basically attacks this on all three levels. Number one, Ramban says, Digla Midbar Mishkan, great, it's an important thing, but only when you have it explicitly in the Gemara. If the Gemara doesn't say Digla Midbar Mishkan, we don't have the right to make that projection. Right? Od Bedaktakan al Betosis, or Midbar Kifle Kiflayim Ayubo, Anashim, Nashim, Taf, Erebrav, Hey Matartsim, etc. The Eina Teretz Nachon, Shari Kosova Yabo, Anashim al Anashim, the sof davar ein lanu elamashim muzkar b'talmud rishus harabim, right? Sheish esrei ama degarmina mimishkan kiniyisa beperak hazorek v'sheinu mekura kedarmina beperak hamad shabbos avul diurin lo yalfinon hilka kol mavui shemefulash b'shnei rashin u'mechuvan adchutz l'medina v'rachav sheish esrei ama hu rishus harabim gemura b'chol ayaros u'b'chol kaparim sheva olam. A very important Shita, the Ramban's rejection of this kula of Shishim Riba. Now, in some of the Chachmei Sfarad, I say the formulation is extended a little bit, so that it's, again, a broader Mishkan issue. Certainly in the Tshuva of the Ribash, we find it this way in others, according to the Ramban. Number one, again, it's implicit in the Ramban here. Sof davar ein lanu l'mashim muzkar b'talmud, does he mean only Rishus Harabim, Sheish Esrei Amah, Degarmina Mimishkan, Sheina Mekura, right? The Gemara says about both of these things that, you know, they're connected to the Mishkan. So the point is that there's a broader discussion here in which the Ramban is basically declaring not just that in this particular application, not just that in this particular application, that, you know, like you said before, you know, whatever the Gemara requires, you know, is a requirement of Rishus HaRabim. We don't make up things that are not explicit, you know, in the Gemara. That's what the Ramban is saying here, or implicitly the Ramban is saying more. What the Ramban is saying is Mekura and Sheish Esrei, right? The Gemara quotes Digle Amidbar Mishkan. And that's a good paradigm that in general you just cannot extrapolate from the Mishkan and from Digle Amidbar, you know, unless the Gemara itself signals that you can do so. Now this is part of a much bigger Mishkan Digle Amidbar issue. That seems to be implicit in the Ramban, and it is explicit in some of the other Rishonim, you know, who quote the position of the Ramban. Then the other point is, and even if you were to want to invoke the Mishkan on Diglei HaMidbar, right, it is this idea that it doesn't matter what took place, you know, it matters how the Torah describes it, or the numbers that the Torah gives the stature to, that should be Koveya. I mean, in the Diglei HaMidbar there was, you know, three times, five times, whatever it was, you know, of the Shishim Ribo. So the Ramban is just saying, I mean, the Bali Tosis are asking, Mimanov Shach, You know, so why isn't that the population that matters? The answer is, oh, the Torah zeroes in on this number. So that's like Igloi Milsa, Gili Milsa. That's a number that, again, they zero in on the number, not for this particular halacha, but for, you know, the other issues having to do with, you know, who's going to die out in the Midbar, and, you know, and so on, how many, you know, fighting men there were in the Midbar, how many men of a certain age to be involved in the Avodah in the Midbar. Is that number the number, you know, the stature number that's Koveya regarding, you know, a population in Hilchos Shabbos? That's what the Ramban, you know, is an addition bothered by. Even if you want to, you know, on your own, without the Gemara explicitly invoking Mishkan and Diglei Midbar, right, this distinction between, you know, the Mispar of the Kasuv, you know, to give it the stature, that that's the important number, as opposed to the Metzius, what about that? Right. So that is very fascinating. Then the Ramban, in addition to that, is saying, moreover, Hare Kasuv Ayavo Anashim Al Anashim. So he's also saying, and even if you want to be adamant about that, you know, the Torah itself, in the context of Hotzah, mentions both genders, so maybe that should qualify. You know, even if you do have this interesting, you know, criterion of, you know, the mispar of the Mishkan itself. So there's like a multi-layered attack, you know, that the Ramban is leveling here. Now again, the line about you know, males above 20, you know, why don't you say, you know, that in a given location, you know, if you're really going to be strict about Digli Amidbar, so you should require 600,000, you know, males above that age. So that, again, seems like a, reductio ad absurdum kind of an argument. Like, you know, if you're going to be technical about it, so let's be technical. That I think I mentioned the other day already, I'll just repeat, bears repeating for a second. And that is, you know, is that all the Ramban is doing here? Ramban's saying, listen, you know, if you're not going to draw the line logically, and you're, you know, using 600,000, so why not use the age of the 600,000, you know, as well? You know, the answer is, it's, you know, the answer could be very easily, you know, could come back to you. It's obviously, you know, if the number may be what the Torah is emphasizing is a certain level of tzibur or rabim, right? But the who makes up that number in terms of a reshus rabim, obviously doesn't matter. It's not tav, it's not nashim, it makes no difference. But what I was suggesting the other day, and I just repeated it now, is that maybe that's also not true. In other words, you always see, like, you know, population figures, right? Census, right? It's important to know in a vibrant society, you know, not only how many people, you know, from the age of, you know, being born, you know, until mortality, you know, live in a certain society, but the quality of a society. I'm not saying quality of life, you know, I'm not talking about B'chai Bahem now. My causes the damak, the dach sumak tvei, has nothing to do with age, not young and not old. That's clear in our in the halachic tradition. But if you're talking about a society, a Rishus HaRabim, like a viable, you know, Rishus HaRabim, it's like in any census, like, you know, oh, what is the, you know, is it an aging population? Is it a, you know, a younger population? Is it a working population? Is it a retiring population? Is it, you know, just a, you know, basically a large, you know, kindergarten? You know, it's an incubation, you know, population. So this idea, the Ramban, I think, it doesn't have to only be reductio ad absurdum. It could be what Ramban saying is, listen, once you think that it's misparam, how do you know that that's the minimum number of what qualifies as a tzibor? Okay, there it was the tzibor of men of a certain age, because that's what they were interested in. But that reflects that, oh, that's the concept of rab. Maybe the age part, which was relevant there because of that issue of the census, of the quality of that particular population, maybe the quality of that population really is koveya in terms of Rishus HaRabim as well. So maybe he meant it very seriously, in which case it's an interesting ha'ara and commentary. Either way, In the end of the day, the Ramban rejects this, and we'll go back to some of his other requirements later, but he rejects Shishim Riba. Okay. In terms of the actual requirement, I see my time's almost up, but I'll try to finish this off. At least this part of it. In terms of the actual requirement of Shishim Riba, so let me just, in the 2 minutes that I have left, so let's just talk about the sheet, the actual shitos, just for a couple of minutes. Yeah. The people who reject, we know. What is the spatial, as I say, and the temporal requirement? Is it really omnipresent in both? Or is it more flexible? So what do we know about that, Yosef? What information do we have about that? Like Shishim Riba, every minute, every day, simultaneously, in one place. What are the different formulations? Did you get a chance to see them? Yonatan?
The Ran, according to Ra.
Let's start with Rashi. Okay. And then we'll get to the Ran in a second, because you're right, because that's a striking, contrasting sheet. But let's just start with the, since we've been dealing with Rashi. So Rashi and Bava Medalef has the formulation of? Right. Sounds like it's a shir in the city.
Rashi is not so pashut because on Sadi Vav Amid Aleph, when he talks about the Machane of Avia, it's the Shirabim, he says, Shehayu Hakol Mitsuyin Etzel Moshe Rabin.
Okay.
It sounds like they actually had to be there, and that was important.
So Irsha Mitsuyin Bo,
but it,
why is that so
because
different?
It's not, if they didn't live there. People didn't live in Machane of Avia, that was just a Levine.
Well, he doesn't say here that they lived either. He said that they're Mitsuyim Bo, right?
Right.
So living, let me say it this way. The person who has actually, again, fascinating, the most restrictive requirement is the Ramban's, seemingly, I think, is the Ramban's, at one level, is the Ramban's projection on Rashi. Right? The Ramban on Nun Tesson Aleph and Erevin. And whoever wrote the footnotes to this one, I don't know if it was a Herschler or not, makes this a point as well, and makes it well, that the Ramban A seemed to have a different girsa of Rashi, or he's quoting Rashi differently, and seems to treat Rashi in an extreme way. Seems to require shishim ribo diurin, right? People who live, I mean sleep, in the city, right? That's Rashi, that's the Rashi that he quotes here. Appears Rashi ir shel yachid, haynu she'ein ba shishim riba b'nei adam, v'kari shel yachid she'ein ba rishus harabim, b'nei she'im ama mu'atin, v'ladami l'diglei midbar, v'naza shel rabim, she'nitos v'a diurin. V'ze ha'inyan, b'kam makomos pirish osa, en rishus harabim gemur, l'b'ir she'esh ba shishim riba, and so on.
I think it's a lesson of some of the government.
So this is, I don't think the Gaonim say diurin, do they?
I think so.
Do you think they do?
1 second.
I don't remember that, maybe. And then again, as he continues, he also speaks about Alma bidayarin nami irinan, you know, people who, again, it's hard to know whether to take it literally. That would be an extreme view. Namely, you have to have, a living population. You know, the people who reside, let's say, you know, Shishim Riba. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says Hirshim Mitsuyim Bo, right? And what you're pointing out in Sadi Bamad Aleph is that they're around, they're to and fro. They don't necessarily live in that, right? Let's say have a bedroom community of suburbs, but people are like in the city all the time. Everybody works in the city, let's say, you know. What would be the status of? Do you really need diurin? Rashi on Nun Tesa Bamad Aleph, the girsa that we have is Nichnasin Bo. Tamid, right? Nichnasin bo tamid doesn't mean lives there. That's what the Ramban's not quoting. He's saying, you know, diurin, but nichnasin bo tamid is a much more flexible definition, seemingly. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Mem Hei, you found the Gonim?
Yeah, I did.
They have diurin?
They have she'ein bahen shishim vilo.
Right, that doesn't say much, that I'm aware of, but that doesn't... That's not any better than Matsui or Ein Matsui. The thing about the Ramban is that he understood diurin. Diurin is much more restrictive.
I'll tell you.
Again, it's a kula, I'm just saying, the more restrictive you are about Shisarabim, the bigger the kulad is, both in terms of hotzah and in terms of eruding. So that's why this is so important. Yeah?
Well, Rashi and the Riff has both lishanos.
Yeah.
He has shalohi in the class about tamen shishim rivu b'nei adam v'lo chashim v'shus nerabim v'lo damim v'lo dilem medvar then nasi shalabim shuni tosu v'lo diyot. So...
Right. Okay. No, because in the place, if they toss up the urine, then they're also going to be matzoi.
Yeah,
right,
now
to explain the Mishnah on the test.
To our Rashi, which says either more urine or more shvakim.
Yeah, our shvakim. We have shvakim. The Ramban didn't have that.
Yeah,
so Rashi on the Rif has like the second half, you're saying, of that. Yeah. Okay, very good. But basically, Rashi, what I'm saying is the Ramban, or that, let's say, the Rif, that part of it, that's the most restrictive in terms of, you know, the people actually having to live there. Most of the formulations don't talk about their living there, but being, you know, matsui. Matsui or nichnas. The question is, do you need nichbas bo tamid? What does that mean? Right? Does that mean that in any one time there's always that amount, or does it mean every day? So Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Mem Hei Sif Zayin has a lashon of Ovrim. Can you have it? Yeah, over and b'chol yom. So, and some of the Nosei Kalim point out that even that seems like extreme, because the Rashi didn't say over. Well, Rashi says motzli bo tamid in Nun Tes Amud Aleph, right? But you know, certainly Vav Amud Aleph didn't have to be interpreted that way. So, on the other side of it, the more I guess flexible side, you mentioned the Ra, the Ra in the name of the Ra. What does he say?
Tes tamid.
And then he can continue. Even though they're not there in one time.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in one day either. So the Ra'ah has a much more, he does have Shishim Ribo for Rashi, or for this Shita, but he has a much more flexible Hagdara, what that is, right? So too the Ritva, who is very influenced by the Ra, as we know, both in Erevin and in Shabbos. Do you have that, Yonatan? Anybody? The Ritva? Oh, definitely told you to look at it. Robbie?
So when he talks about
Yerushalayim,
it's
because he says Yerushalayim is
al Chacha, right? Yeah. So
that's a much wider. So the, again, the Mishnah Berura in Bir Halacha, well, the Mishnah Berura in the Mishnah Berura just says, oh, the Shulchan Aruch took a really, I gotta stop a minute, took a really extreme view. You know, even if you're going to hold Shishim Reba, but every day, I mean, that seems like a big kula. I said, not so happy about that. And then in the Be'er Halacha, he quotes the Ritva, right? He quotes this Ritva, who basically says that, you know, it's a much more flexible definition. And there are some Lashonos also, I think the Ritva Erevin sounds like maybe you don't even need Shishim Reba, just need like a very big population. Right? You have language? No? But you saw that. The one in...
Didn't the Ra'ah say the same thing? Didn't the Ra'ah say that also?
In here?
Yeah, in the second answer by the Ra'ah.
But I thought he still sticks to Shishim Ribo. He just... His kula, or his chumrah, is that he's just saying, well, you know, as long as, you know, they don't need Shishim Ribo one time, for sure. You just need that, you know, it's an area which is served by 600,000 in a broader way. Sometimes, accumulate like 600,000 people will go on, not at the same time, not the same day, but he, I don't think here, did you have language again? I don't think he drops Shishim Ribo completely, but
it's
still Derech L'Shishim Ribo. Oh, okay, and I guess it depends how you interpret that then.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you don't have 600,000 at once, but you have 600,000, you know, an aggregate people who are using this thing over time, or is it just that you don't even need that? You know, you just need kish, like it's a round figure. You need a big population center, you know, and so on. Okay, so these are really very important issues. the question of flexibility, and we discussed before what the relationship is, you know, to the bigger question. In terms of the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, there's also a debate among the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both deyas, in other words, the Shita of Rambam and Shita of Rashi, and there's a machlokas among the poskim whether the Shulchan Aruch predominantly holds like Rashi, you know, this is the Kula, which is the view of the Magen Avraham and the Taz, and those poskim, or whether or not it really holds, the Shulchan Aruch primarily holds like the Rambam, which is the view of the Elio Rabba, and you know, again, I think the Mishnah Berurah is inclined that way, and Mishkanos Yaakov, and like a lot of the Achronim. So that's also a question how that works. Now, this idea that you could have been mechalek between Sratya and Platya, of course, is a very fascinating idea of the Rishonim. We talked about that, but maybe there are two dinim. If there are two dinim, the question is, you know, is that technically that there are two dinim, or really there are two mechaibim in Rishus HaRabim? There's Rishus HaRabim, which is a population center, again, Platya-esque, and then there's a Rishus HaRabim, which is about Shimush, you know, HaRabim, and it's more structural, you know, like a Sratya. That's certainly the way it sounds in the Ramban, that would be the Chiluk. The Ramban happens to reject it because the Ramban doesn't want to hear about Shishim Rebo. But if you do accept this idea, then you know, that, you know, there's a certain attractiveness to saying that there really are two different dinim, and that, you know, Shishim Rebo would be required in one. The idea that there are two dinim and that you are mechalik between Sratya and Platya, what this will end for today, is something which is reflected not only in this possibility regarding Shishim Rebo, but with regard to the question of you know, how mefulash everything has to be, and the question of dlosos shenin olos balayla, you know, what impact that would have as well. So that's where we get into the issue of who? Very, very important shita. We'd mentioned it earlier in the Zman, by the way. The shita of the Rajba. And an Eri here as well, but particularly the Rajba in Avodas HaKodesh. Right? What's the shita of the Rajba? Everybody?
That for Platya you can have Platya's Nulot.
You can even have glossos neulos, that's the Rajba here in Avodas HaKodesh, or Gimel Aleph. Right, he has this little piece on the Rishuyos. And he says, Ezli Rishus HaRabim, kol makom sherokov tezayin ama al tezayin ama. He has it squared, which is, by the way, a big issue. U'miskabtsim shom b'nei adam miskora, which is platya, basically. B'lasos shom tzracheyem, right? Kishukim shebimedinos. The apal pi shedloso samedina ninolos balayla habuhi platya sha'amar. So why is that so important? Number one, it's very remarkable. And the Meiri has such a day or two. The Meiri is the mechalek between dlosos that are dlosos hamedina, right? So mimela, the dlosos hamedina, they close the gate at night, you know, but they're not closing, there's no gates for the platya. So he says that would be still a platya, but he says if there were specific gates for the platya at night, says the Meiri, that would certainly be machkia of the Shem Rishus HaRabim. That's a very logical distinction. The Rajba doesn't say that, but that's a place to draw the line. But the idea that there can be a Rishus HaRabim even within, which isn't the Fulash, and which is even within Mechitzos, Balayla, is a big chiddush. Right? We had it earlier in the year because we spoke about, I mentioned earlier in the year, in what context, do you remember?
The Ramban.
Correct. When the Ramban said that we have to reject Rashi's view of Yad, of Yash's view that, you know, as opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel, that the Gemara de Havamina, that the Yad is an embassy of the body, so he said, well, the Ramban said, well, because it's impossible, what are you going to say? That there's, that if the man is in Rishus HaRabim, his body's in Rishus HaRabim, and his hand's in Rishus HaYachid, so there's a Rishus HaRabim inside Mechitzos. So I mentioned this Rajba in Avodas HaKodesh, then, who says that, you know, inside, you can have a Rishus HaRabim, you can have a Platya inside Mechitzos, right, under certain, you know, conditions. So that is the Ramban, that's the Rajba, that's very, very important. What makes it particularly important is the next line, which is
that
v'chein ha-mavos ha-mefulashim,
that they can't be.
Upischein, exactly. Mechavanim zeh keneged zeh, v'rachman tesayinama, v'ha'am over b'neihem, name we're talking about, this isn't sratya, exactly, but it is mavo samafilashim, something in between, right? Kedigle hamidbar ba'agalos, v'medbar mamurim, kesheein dal sasem ne'ulos balayla, hoyo dal sasem ne'ulos balayla, ein zeh rishus harabim, she'ein rishus harabim, ela ha'nimsar l'rabim b'kosha. So it seems that the Rajva has two rishus harabims. One is a, you know, population center. Not, again, not a living population center, but shvakim, a business population center. And that's even if it's not mafulash, and even if it's ninolos balayla. And then there's the access, right, which requires that it be totally open at all times. So it's parallel in a way to the sratya plata distinction of the Ramban. Again, I just wanted to also add, and I'll take the question, the Rush in Beitza, which I think I asked you to look at also, is goes out of his way to say that even Sratya requires Shishim Ribo. Right? And that you should not distinguish between. I think that's just a response to the suggestion of the Ramban, which he rejects. Okay. But the idea that in theory, what emerges is that there are people who think that maybe there are two dinim, Sratya and Platya, are two models of Rishus HaRabim. The Rishonim who think that Sratya and Platya are one and the same, there are those like Ramban who think even Platya is like Sratya. There are, as we'll see, those who think that even Platya is like Sratya. For example, with this will end, the Ran, in the name of the Ra, again, has the idea that what? That what? That even a Platya needs to be mefulash. Not just that, you know, the Rajba's chiddush was that you could have a platya which is ninolos balayla. That's a bigger chiddush. Right. But does a platya necessarily have to be mefulash? As long as you have 600,000, you know, why should you need that? But the Ran, in the name of the Ra'ah, seems to say, yes, the platya has to be mefulash. That's what the tour seems to say as well. And clearly, you know, other Rishonim do not think that a platya needs to be mafulash. Again, Rashi says that mavos need to be mafulashim into a platya, but the platya doesn't need to be mafulash. Right? So again, it could be this same idea. If you think that, you know, even a platya is basically a sratya, then maybe it needs to be mafulash. If you think that a platya is just a mokom shel, you know, knisas rabim, then why does it necessarily have to be mafulash? That's the structural part, that's not a population part. Itamar.
The Ramban has the same distinction later on in that piece on Nerevin.
Yeah.
He says, according to Arab Yehuda, it could only be Marib.
According to Arab Yehuda, yeah.
It could only be Marib versus Rabim of Sratya.
Correct. Because he's trying to figure out how do you work Rabbi Yehuda in. Once you take the view that you only need Shishim Ribo and it's everything is about Mefulashim, so the Ramban discusses was bothered. So if you hold like him, you know, what's Rabbi Yehuda talking? What's Rishus HaRabim for Rabbi Yehuda? Right? So what's his answer? Yeah, between Platya and Sratya. So again, right?
Yeah.
Or the equivalent. So that's the rehabilitation, in a way, of what he said earlier. Just he doesn't like Shishim Ribo. He doesn't like Shishim Ribo anywhere. But the idea that you could be mechalek between sratya and platya, or the idea in particular that sratya is a different kind of rishus harabim, is something which emerges. Okay, so we'll speak a little more about these, and then we'll move on to the next issue. And I want to go through the Gemara tomorrow to get to Chesam and Aleph.